The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me today. If you were listening yesterday, I brought to you a brief story about another massacre in the country of Nigeria. And now almost every day, and that's not an exaggeration, now almost every day we have new reports coming out of Nigeria of Christians being murdered, slaughtered, sometimes, as I reported to you yesterday, an entire town or entire village just wiped out by radical Muslims. Just came across this disturbing story today. I brought this to your attention originally way back in January. It's a story of Pastor Lawan Ndimi. Lawan Ndimi was a Christian pastor in the northern part of Nigeria. Please remember, northern Nigeria is predominantly Muslim. Southern Nigeria is predominantly Christian. Where all the violence is occurring is in the radical Muslim north of Nigeria. Well, this dear pastor was the pastor of a local church. He was also the chairman of the Christian Association of Nigeria's chapter of the, I can't pronounce it, local government area. In other words, not only was he a pastor of an evangelical church, he also had a governmental position in this particular area. Well, he was kidnapped back on January 3rd. Again, if you're a regular listener, you may remember me bringing this to your attention. And his captors, radical Muslims, were demanding a ransom. They wanted, they were asking for 2 million euros in exchange for his release. Well, the Christians in northern Nigeria are very, very poor. The church community in his area, whether right or wrong, began trying to raise money for his release. Now, remember, his captors wanted 2 million euros. That would be slightly less than $2 million. Well, they were only able to raise 4,969 euros. So less than 5,000 euros when the radicals were demanding 2 million. Well, it was unknown for quite some time what happened to him until recently. We have just discovered that he was beheaded by his captors. He was killed. A video was released calling on fellow Christians, days after he was kidnapped, a video was released demanding that his followers and other Christians raise the money for his release. Well, the pastor adamantly maintained his faith in Christ. In the video, he said all conditions that one finds himself in, all conditions that one finds himself is in the hand of God. He went on to say, by the grace of God, I will be together with my wife and my children and all my colleagues. If the opportunity has not been granted, then maybe it is the will of God. Well, Monday of this week, we discovered that he had been murdered, and all of the evidence is that he was beheaded. A source for the organization Save the Persecuted Christians released this statement. They have slaughtered him in Sambisa Forest. They murdered him because he refused to renounce his faith and because they couldn't raise the money for his ransom. So there is evidence that to the very end, he refused to recant. He refused to renounce his faith in Christ, and he died as a martyr. Well, this is not the only pastor. Just last week, Pastor Dennis Bogori of a Lutheran church in Nigeria, a well-known political activist for advocate for Christians, was killed by gunmen in his area. Additionally, quote, the Islamic State recently published a new video showing a child soldier killing a Christian man in Nigeria. The child is seen declaring, quote, "We won't stop until we take revenge for all the blood that was spilled." This was a child killing a Nigerian man. The reports are just absolutely horrific. In light of that, a group of Americans went to Nigeria recently, led by Johnny Moore. Johnny Moore is an evangelical communications executive and president of the Congress of Christian Leaders. He went to Nigeria with Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And on February 17th, they traveled to Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria. They spent several days there meeting with Nigerian government officials as well as people in the persecuted community. Mr. Moore said this, quote, "After our journey there, we want the world to know you haven't heard the half of it. The terrorists aim to ethnically cleanse northern Nigeria of its Christians and to kill every Muslim who stands in their way." Part of their report said, quote, "Reports of barbaric overnight raids, attacks, abductions, executions, and displacement of civilian communities have become more and more common. In Nigeria, in recent months, over 2 million people have been displaced." Now, not all of those were murdered, but over 2 million people have been displaced. Mr. Moore and Rabbi Cooper stressed, quote, "that if things do not change immediately, portions of Nigeria and the broader Lake Chad region may soon become the most dangerous place on planet Earth. This portion of Africa will be ground zero for the next generation's war on terrorism, and the humanitarian cost of letting these problems fester and multiply in the near term could result in disaster for much of Western Africa." The report says, although Johnny Moore had been to Nigeria several years ago, he was shocked by how much worse things have gotten there. Quote, "People are dying every single day, and they don't have to be. More can be done. This is not a poor country. It is the wealthiest country on the planet. The scale is just incomprehensible. It seems very, very clear for us that for very various reasons, the government is failing at its fundamental responsibility to protect its citizens." It is a dire, bleak, gloomy picture coming out of Nigeria, particularly for Christians. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Throughout history, this has been the norm for the Christian church. Stay tuned. We'll pick this up just on the other side of this break.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. You know, I wish today we could just talk about happy, happy, happy. But folks, we are living in a broken, evil, fallen world. And the situation for Christians around the world is continuing to grow worse and worse and worse. Now, if you look at the history of America for the last 200 plus years, the state, the condition of Christians has been an anomaly when you look at Christian history as a whole. Because since the beginning of the church, way back at the time of the disciples, the apostles, until today, the majority of the history of the Christian church has been a history of suffering and persecution. This time of liberty and freedom for Christians is actually somewhat of an aberration in Christian history. And I think it's very possible, that that could change here in America. Around the world, there is more persecution of Christians today than any other time in the history of the Christian church. But because we live in this bubble in America, we sometimes forget that. And one of the most important things that you and I can develop, and here's what I really want to hit home today. One of the most important things that the evangelical church can do is to develop a solid biblical theology of suffering. Not only suffering, but also persecution. Fortunately, praise God, here in America, Christians have never had to suffer. Pardon me. Christians have never suffered persecution. Suffer, yes. Persecution, no. Losing your job because you're a Christian, compared with persecution around the world, that's not really persecution. But the day may come when Christians truly are persecuted here in America. But something really troubles me. In the majority of our evangelical churches today, the Christian life is presented as happy, happy, happy. And of course, then there's the whole word, faith, name it and claim it, prosperity, gospel, heresy. And it is a heresy that tries to prove to you that if you simply say the words of faith and if you have enough faith, then you will never suffer. You'll never get sick. Your kids will never get sick. No one in your family will die prematurely. You'll never lose your job. You'll drive a fancy car, live in a big house, because this is the way God blesses all people who have the words of faith. My friend, that is not found in Scripture. And let me repeat, it is a heresy. And the reason why it is such a dangerous heresy is suffering is a part of the Christian life. Always has been, always will be. And I really fear that our churches are not properly preparing people for the inevitable suffering and the possibility of persecution. And that's why I want to spend some time doing a little Bible study today about the biblical theology of persecution and suffering. Now, we'll get to suffering in a moment, but let's begin with persecution. What does the Bible say about the child of God, the follower of Jesus, and persecution? Now, again, this flies in the face of much of what is being taught in evangelical churches today. But here's what the Word of God says. Let me just share with you several verses. How about Matthew chapter 5, verse 10? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the common thought in the church today is if you're persecuted, well, it's probably because you're not faithful. It's because God is punishing you. It's because you don't have enough faith. You're cursed by God. I have known many people who believed that when things got tough because of what they had heard some preacher say, God no longer loved them, and they were probably cursed by God. But listen to what Jesus said. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what about 2 Corinthians 12:10? This is in the midst of Paul's remarks about his thorn in the flesh that was given to him. Remember, this thorn in the flesh caused unbelievable suffering for Paul. And Paul considered it a gift from God. Yeah, read it in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul thought that the thorn in the flesh that caused so much pain and agony and suffering, and by the way, that he begged God to remove, but at the same time, Paul acknowledged that it was a gift from God, and he said this in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, are you listening? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's the antithesis of what's being taught in many of our churches today. If you live godly, if you say the right words and pray enough and send me some money, drop some dollars in the offering plate, you won't suffer or suffer persecution. Can I read that again to you? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then, what about the world's attitude towards us as Christians? Again, it is commonly thought that if you live an upright, godly, righteous life, if you are loving like Jesus, then everybody is going to love you. You're going to be respected in your community. You're going to get rewards. You're going to be called down by city council and given the Citizen of the Year award. People are going to be standing around patting you on the back because you're such a wonderful citizen of your community. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 18. Are you ready? If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And then in Luke's gospel, chapter 6, verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's why it's sometimes very dangerous when the political world begins to like us and embrace us, when the culture around us begins patting us on the back. That's a time to be careful, to be very, very careful. Can I read it to you again? Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. When was the last time you heard that preached? You've probably heard just the opposite preached. My friend, we must have a biblical theology of persecution and suffering because it may very well come. All right, we're going to take a break and then we'll return.